Welcome to another episode of the Edible Valley. I'm Blaine Prowse.
And I am Jonathan Fraser. And we are here to invite you to join along with our ongoing adventure touring the Comox Valley, or as we like to think of it, the Edible Valley.
On today's episode, we are talking with Island Soda Works. Mandolin's in studio with us. She's got some samples and a whole bunch of interesting things to tell us about how she does what she does with her magic drinks.
Hi.
But yeah, we'll get to Mandolin in a little bit, and feel free to chip in with anything that you have to say while we're chatting about stuff. If you did anything cool this week or whatever.
Yeah, we just want to go over a little bit of, our week in the valley this week. So, how was your week? Anything interesting that happened? Jumped out at you? You got out a bit for the long weekend?
For three nights up in Johnson Strait. I'm not going to tell you where because it's an amazing place that I don't want to ruin by having everybody go there.
Right.
But it's a place where I actually lived until I was about 5 years old. And it's a little old logging camp tucked away. And, pardon me. And there was pink salmon all over the place. And we camped there right on the ocean. And I brought my daughter with me, and she caught some fish, and I caught a bunch of fish, and we saw orcas, and yeah, the orcas were really cool. We were out in an 8-foot dinghy rowing about, and the pod of orcas came and kind of went around either side of us.
That's always an incredible thing to have happen.
Yeah.
I have lived out here for 4.5 years. I have yet to see a whale. I saw one at Stanley Park at the zoo once, and yeah. I live on the ocean,
Yeah, you need to head up north there. You hit the Robson Bite. Apparently, it's gorgeous up there.
But people who, like my neighbors, have seen them. You know, just never me.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of ocean out there, and if you're not paying attention, they just go right by. And I mean, we couldn't help but see them because we were out there bobbing about, throwing a line in the water.
That's fantastic.
And I saw the bull coming. I saw his big dorsal come out of the water and his spray from his.
Were you terrified / amazed?
No, I wasn't scared, but John and I both worked on different whale watching operations years ago when we were younger, and so I've been around them, and I don't know, I'm just not really afraid.
Crazy.
So it was cool, and I had to keep calm because I didn't want my daughter freaking out that these huge animals were coming. Totally. She just thought, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, but you set a good precedent.
Yeah, when you're 8, you know, it's cool, but it's not as cool as it'll be when she gets older. She'll see them again and go, oh my god, this is freaking crazy. But
it's still pretty impressive to watch them.
At the time, she was just kind of like, sweet, let's fish. Or, you know, that's kids. So anyway, it was cool. And I snagged a seagull when I casted my line out. So I had a close encounter with the seagull.
Interesting.
I had to reel him in and cut the line off. And
what was it like reeling in a seagull?
It was kind of... He didn't fight very hard.
No, you just kind of dragged him?
I just dragged him, yeah. And so, but yeah, I tangled in his wing so he couldn't fly. Thank Christ. I got him into the beach and I got the lure. I actually saved my lure and I a couple quick cuts with my knife and he got to fly away unharmed. So
nice.
Yeah, it was a bit crazy. He tried to bite me a few times and stuff. And what else happened? It was exciting.
Sounds like a pretty exciting weekend.
Yeah,
from
it was
there.
Just. We went to a really cool waterfall too.
Beautiful. So,
yeah, just all sorts of good stuff.
There's great spots up on the North Island to check out and visit. So.
And the weather was phenomenal, and there was a bit of wind, but it wasn't too bad. So.
Great. So, and for back here in Courtney.
Yeah.
Where I stayed, I basically was locked to the cafe for the whole weekend, but I did get out on Monday. And got down to the nautical days.
Mm-hmm.
I missed out on the Philberg, but I'm guessing there was a lot of people out for the Philberg this weekend because at 5 o'clock the restaurant was empty.
Oh, really?
And by 6:30 it was full.
Oh, wow.
There was a point that I thought, where are all the people? They must be all in Comox, and then they came back. So.
Yeah, a big wave of people.
So, yeah, it was an interesting weekend for me, but it was great to get out and tour around. I watched the... build, bill, and sail,
right?
Which is always a good laugh to watch the boats go down as they try and make an attempt to build something in 3 hours that usually doesn't quite go that far.
Yeah.
But there were some great entries, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
Cool.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And then fireworks last night.
Yeah,
so.
I got to see the fireworks, too. That was It's always a good time.
Yeah.
I spent all day yesterday in my kitchen canning and smoking fish.
Right on.
So I didn't really.
As you should.
Yeah. Yes. I got half of it done. The other half's in the deep freeze. So.
Impressive.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good. It's good stuff to do that, canning and putting it away.
I spent my weekend at the Comox Valley Farmers Market. Well, my Saturday. Oh. And with Nautical Days going on, as well as the Filberg Fest, I wasn't entirely sure. But there was a huge amount of amazing people. It was probably one of my best Saturdays. It was just,
really?
The vibe was amazing. The people were lovely. I had a great time. I had a lot of people coming because they had heard of me, which was so flattering and awesome.
Excellent.
And I had just a lot of really positive feedback. And it had been, you know, bad weather the week before and whatnot. So it was really just, it just was so fulfilling and so fantastic for me to have all that support in the community that I get to touch base with every Saturday. It's just, it was amazing. And I ended up, I normally do the farmer's market in Campbell River on Sundays, and I sold out on Saturday. Nice. So I, not only did I sell out, but I got my Sunday free. It's awesome.
Bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did actually make it down to the farmer's market for a brief moment on Saturday.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a lot of new vegetables popping up. There's everyone's full of everything right now. Lots of
it's lush.
Lots of potatoes and peas and sprouts berries and everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, the raspberries are out. And
Tailgate Tomatoes has those beautiful little green, super sweet plums. I think they're called I know them as a mirepoix, but I don't know what. The little green ones.
Oh, yeah.
So good. My daughter ate an entire kilo of it, you know, in seconds. So,
perfect. Yeah.
It was amazing.
So, yeah, I got in there, but had to run out pretty quick. So, I didn't actually get over to your booth.
My illustrious little booth. Yeah.
I always go to the, I always come in and I go to the,
you have
the
to,
right.
You have to part the crowds, you know.
Yes,
to get
exactly. I was like, too many people there. I'm going to the next one. Yeah.
You put on such a good show, it's hard to get in there. Yeah. Before you know it, you got a cup in front of you and samples going
in. It's like a shooter bar sometimes.
Yeah, it really is.
For sure.
Yeah, I didn't get to obviously go to the market. I did lots of wild harvesting though. We ate a lot of berries. There was huckleberries and
huckleberries are out right now.
Berries and salal berries and salmon. Salmon cooked over the fire. I even ate a salmon liver, which some people might think is really weird, but.
They're fairly small, aren't
they?
I
really enjoyed it.
You just kind of suck it back like a pill.
Yeah, you were saying.
I cooked it over the fire, and it came out like a smoked oyster.
Huh.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But much smaller, no?
No. Salmon livers are fairly big.
Really?
So, yeah, it was, I don't know. But it was bigger than a smoked oyster.
Hmm.
I ate it in a few bites. So my daughter challenged me to it. But she wouldn't try it.
Ah, she missed out on the equivalent equivalent to a smoked oyster. That's terrible.
I know. I wish I hadn't thrown so many of them to the seagulls. It was the last night and I
ate
them. I went, those darn seagulls got to eat all my livers.
All right, so carrying on, any news on the $100 challenge?
We're still getting a few members here and there and some feedback.
And you started keeping track now?
Yeah.
So August 1st is they want people to start keeping track of what they're spending so we can sort of tally up and see what's happening out there.
Yeah, start filling out your journals and keep track of what you're doing so we can tally it up at the end of the year.
And see how much money actually returns back into the valley.
Yeah.
It comes straight out of the valley to the valley. So.
Yeah. I know Russ is back in town now. He's left Alberta, working in Alberta for the time being anyways, so he's now that he's home, he's really busy, so it's hard to keep doing anything with the page, so he's been trying to do what he can, but preoccupied with yard work and fishing and beach and everything in life, not just sitting in camp at night with nothing to do, so.
Yeah, wife and kids. And
yeah, it'll be a bit more of a challenge for him.
Excellent. Well, it's good to hear that still carrying on, so.
Yeah, totally. It's going to keep on going. So, yeah.
I know I'm writing down.
Good.
Yeah. I don't get out much, but I do.
Yeah.
Do write down what I do. And I don't think I should count what I spend at the cafe as part of my $100 because it should
definitely
be a bit more there.
Definitely does not count. No.
Mind you, when that's the only place I usually eat now, so.
Yeah, true enough. We had a good sausage night.
We did. We had some bear sausage, which was something different.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's one of my employees or part-time employees that comes in.
Yeah.
They have a butcher up in Merville, and I'm blanking on the name right at the moment. But I'm going to find out that name, and we're going to put it on the website.
Yeah, we'll add that in.
And we're definitely going to have them in eventually to talk about it, because they do a lot of hunting
wild game processing
yeah. and stuff like that. So
cool.
There'll be definitely some interesting people to talk to about food and foraging and what's out there. Yeah, so.
Awesome. Oh, I found some good spots, potential spots up where I was camping that I want to go back in mushroom season.
Yes.
Some buckets.
Excellent.
Yeah. I had just driving along, looking out the window, going, oh, yeah, I got to come back here. Oh, yeah, I got to come back here.
Yeah. So I found, like, alongside with the $100 challenge, which I'm definitely not writing anything down for, but I think by sheer dint of the fact that I'm working at the farmer's market and, I'm there and these products are available and I see them, I've been buying pretty much all of my products, all of my groceries, except for, like, you know, some raw cashews and some nutritional yeast and, you know, baking essentials, like, at the farmer's market. And I'm spending less than I had spent in the winter, possibly because I'm less interested in buying, like, convenience items or, you know, whatever. But I'm spending less. We're eating better. And just the other day, my beloved babysitter had gone grocery shopping for me because I'd been so busy. And so I came home and there was groceries everywhere. But I was looking at the produce that she had gotten. I think she had gone from, you know, like, one of the major chains. And I was looking at the produce she got and looking at the bill and just being like, this doesn't look half as good. It doesn't taste half as good. And for some reason, like, it's been so long that I've only been eating local, my body feels different eating sugar snap peas in that man's, you know, a package. Like, it doesn't it doesn't feel the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah. And it's not nearly the same. And it's really weird how that transition has happened. Like, I just walked by Superstore and they had big kilos of blueberries on for I don't know how much, and I looked and the price was comparable to fresh local blueberries that I can get sun warmed and ripened, you know, tomorrow at the farmer's market.
Not so ripened by ethylene gas in the truck. On the
exactly. Or just, you know, they don't, it doesn't taste the same and you don't feel the same eating it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've noticed lately, because I've been so busy, I'm not sleeping very often. My daughter was sick for about 2 weeks, you know, like, I'm not sleeping, and yet I'm not as crabby as I think I would have been if my diet wasn't this good. So, yeah, it's a nice.
I noticed that same kind of thing this on Sunday when we came home. We stopped in Sabred and had breakfast at the Cypress Inn or whichever it's called. And I ate some pancakes, which I haven't eaten wheat in months. And I haven't been feeling good for the last 2 days because of it. Just really upset stomach and indigestion and
tired.
Yeah, it's just that's the only thing that I've eaten in the last, besides the salmon liver, but that wouldn't hurt me.
No.
But the only thing that I've eaten that's just made me think that that's what
could
did
be
it.
What did it to you. Yeah.
It's kind of amazing how as your body, like, you know, gets more streamlined and healthier, it's just you do have that one thing and you know immediately, like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm cranky and my head hurts and, you know.
Yeah. And I ate it and I just had that craving, you know, for something sweet, and I ate it and instantly I felt horrible. And I didn't want to, I just thought, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Isn't good. So, yeah.
Very true.
Eating local. And
it's good for you, right?
It's good for you. And it's actually, like, it's a lot more affordable than even I had assumed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it really is. And
you can go out to a lot of the farmer stands, too, during the week. And you can get a steal on groceries.
Exactly.
Like produce for next to
nothing.
Or if you're
driving to the Powell River Ferry, you hit up, like, Freedom Farms. You're hitting up Perry's Best. You're hitting up, you know.
Yeah.
And they're all on that one road. So they're in direct competition with each other.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Coleman Road's a great spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
For shopping. I know Russ was talking about, last night I was talking to him, and he bought a beef heart from Grassy Point.
Oh, really?
And he made jerky out of it, he made meatballs out of it, and he made kebabs out of it. So he got three meals out of this beef heart. It cost $8.
Have you ever had their pepperonis? They don't sell them at the market, but they have the world's best pepperoni.
Oh, yeah? No, I haven't.
You have to go down to their little red barn. It's only $1 for, like, this amazing pepperoni.
Whoa, wow.
Awesome.
They're really good.
Yeah.
I love Grassy Point.
It's funny because they put that place in there when I moved away from that area.
Yeah, that's
They built it right when I moved away. So I always missed out on it.
Yeah.
So
good pepperoni. Worth
the
stop.
Yeah, no, it's a great spot. So down there by the Trent River. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we should shift a little bit and get into what Madeline's doing with her
what
soda.
We brought her. Yeah. So you've started off. We're doing. You are doing a
naturally fermented probiotic soda pop. So
I'm glad you said that. It's easier than me.
It's my spiel. Yeah, lacto-fermented probiotic soda pop. So you're getting your living probiotics you would get from organic Greek yogurt or a probiotic supplement, but you know these ones are alive. There's what's using to carbonate and ferment the beverage. If you mix them with alcohol, you don't get hungover. They're full of B vitamins. They're great for kids and diabetics. My daughter's 2.5 and doesn't have a lot of junk ever. But if she's got a crazy diaper or, you know, some indigestion going on, I give her this and she thinks it's amazing. It's juice, you know, and this is her treat and also like helps boost her immunity.
It's an interesting product you got here.
It's been around. This is how they used to make soda pop in the 1500s, actually. This is what they would do to ferment the fruits and vegetables to keep them from spoilage. Mm-hmm. And it also purified the water content. Through the fermentation, you would grow healthy yeast, and which would overpower the unhealthy bacteria, pathogens, microbes in the water, which is, you know, how a lot of people stayed alive. And soda pop traditionally has been a health tonic. Soda pop, there was a reason that there was soda fountains in pharmacies, you know, and back in the 1500s, there was, you know, the butcher, the baker, and the soda jerk. It just didn't rhyme.
Right.
The best name.
So how did you get into this? Where did you...
It's so weird. Can you say happenstance? I really like to eat and drink a lot. And I think my friends have called me a tubby health nut because I like to ferment everything. And I'm really into making everything from scratch. I make my own everything. You know, I have a flour mill and I make my own mustard and it takes 6 weeks. And I have lupus, and when I had my daughter, I went into remission I was on these incredible pills, or actually these needles, these biochemical drugs. And so when I was pregnant, I stopped the drugs, but I also went into remission. And then after having her, I wanted to continue staying off the drugs as long as I could. But I got really, really, really sick in a way that I had never been before. And that kind of brought it all back to me, you know, the importance of, I lived in Paris for 5 years. See, my story is all convoluted. I lived in Paris for 5 years, and it was really about, you go to the market, you buy asparagus. If you forget to buy asparagus and you go to the market the following, you know, week to get asparagus, it might not be there.
It's not
and
there.
You might not see it again until next year. And I ate, you know, whatever I wanted to, however I wanted to. Like, I ate dairy and wheat and all sorts of things that I wouldn't eat here because there the bread, the bread goes bad after a day, as it's meant to do. The milk does not come in like skim 1%, 2%. It comes in milk. There is milk.
Right.
And there is dairy. Like, there is yogurt. And, you know, it's not skim or any. It's just yogurt. And that's when I first got into, you know, just eating whole foods. It's very much, French cooking is very much about the flavor of the food. And so eating whole foods and eating them in a way, you know, with a little bit of spice or a little bit of salt and pepper. But, you know, people talk about French cooking and a lot about the sauce, but it's not. It's really about whole foods cooked to perfection. And so bringing that and then coming back to Canada, I kind of fell into my old patterns of, you know, A&W root beer, which I loved, and Doritos, which I still love, and chicken wings and beer, which you can't fault. And had kind of gone too far into that. And so when I was pregnant and I went into remission, and then after having my child and getting this really terrible lupus flare-up like I'd never seen before, really made me reconsider. I had this beautiful baby girl. I wanted to be healthy. I wanted holistic foods. But I knew that I am not the type of person who's ever going to go on a juice cleanse. Mm-hmm. I will never do that. I like to eat, and I like to eat a lot. And so I needed to figure out a way to eat well and to eat healthfully, but to not deprive myself.
Right.
And that's kind of where the soda pop came from, in a very happenstance, convoluted way. From A to C to B and back.
It's actually an interesting story.
So I think with the soda pop and the fermentation, I started off with kombucha. You know, because I liked it. I had heard about it. I was researching about it and, you know, researching with pHs and researching with acidity and lacto-fermentation. Mm. And, and I kind of got to a place where kombucha and its open air fermentation for such a long period of time, even if you have a really healthy, really durable SCOBY, is still never entirely safe. And for someone with a weakened immunity such as myself, it was probably not what I wanted to focus on. But through this, I knew that I was really into fermented beverages. I was studying, I was researching, I remembered I used to go to rainbow gatherings and be like a really dirty hippie when I was 20. And I remember making ginger beer and people in this rainbow house on 10th and Commercial making ginger beer, lacto-fermented ginger beer. So I kind of followed what I remembered from that and Googled a little bit more and started making amazing ginger beer for friends and family. Mm-hmm. And then Island Soda Works, before it was Island Soda Works, was called Zuzu's Brew, and it exclusively did ginger beer. And it was on like a milk truck delivery service, whereas people would pay a deposit on bottles. And once a week, I would drive around and replace them.
Awesome. Excellent.
But it's, it's been 2 years of studying. I took a university chemistry course. It was really difficult for me to get my licensing. I'm the only one in Canada who's ever done this. I test my pH religiously and frequently and in every stage of my product. It was kind of this beautiful amalgamation of this wanting to eat healthfully, this obsession for research. I mean, I had a small child. I'm at home every day at 7 when everybody else is out, you know? So this is, I research, I test my pH. Cornell University has done some studies on lactofermentation and the benefits of lactofermented soda pop. And I didn't go to Cornell University, but you can go to my Facebook page, Island Soda Works at Facebook, and find links to stuff like that. The Weston A. Price Foundation, you know. Right. I have not done these studies, but they are there.
Oh. Yeah, Weston really Price interesting. Is...
Weston A. Price, yeah.
Yeah. I've looked into that because I'm doing the paleo diet, and he was kind of the forefather of that research.
Well, there are peer-reviewed studies, and there is information out there. And then just, I have an amazing mentor, Brian Ross at Willow Point Wines, who is invaluable. There's a brewing group that meet together in Victoria, and I have some people from there that I liaison with. So I've been really lucky at having people who are able to, if not answer my questions, send me to where I need to go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's cool. There's a lot more to it than just standing at the farmer's market giving out samples. You did a lot of work to create this.
Yeah. About 2 years. Yeah. A lot of licensing, a lot of, I get my stuff tested at North Island Labs.
Yeah.
And I know what pH I can have. I'm allowed to have a 4.6, but I go for a 3.3 to a 3.6 because I want a super effervescent, fresh tasting. It's all about taste,
right.
Like, yeah, there's health benefits, but no, like, foremost, it's a tasty beverage,
right?
And that's where I'm going for. Like, people want to talk to me. I had a gentleman who was like, he wanted to stop taking his Zantac and only drink my soda pop. And I was like, number one, maybe it will work for you, but I don't want to know about it. Like, this is a super tasty, low sugar, better for you than orange juice, not as good for you as water, beverage. Choose to drink it for that.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy it instead of... Yeah.
It's not a supplement.
It's not a supplement.
It's tasty.
I'm a big fan of water. I drink a lot of water. And then, the odd time when I want something different, I'll have an Island Soda Works or I'll have another, like, an organic soda from the store, which I know isn't the same.
But not even close.
But that's, like, once a week I do
them's
something like that.
Words. Well, I think also, like, for my product, it's really hard for me because I chose the name Soda Works, but I am not, I have people walking by and saying, oh, I don't drink soda. Or people think that I have a soda stream and I'm artificially carbonating, and that's completely different. I don't have carbonated water that I mix with flavoring warts or flavorings. It's naturally fermented. Mm-hmm. So the sugar content, the residual sugar, is negligible.
Right.
Because the yeast, those lactobacilli, those lactobacillus, those healthy wild yeast are eating the sugar, creating the fermentation, creating the carbon dioxide. So, I mean, it's not the same as an organic soda pop. It's not the same as a soda stream. It is a living product. It's its own. But I wanted to go with the traditional word of Soda Works because that's where it came from. That's, maybe we could take soda back.
Yeah.
Get the tradition back.
Reappropriate it.
That's right. So is there a lifespan on your
There is. Service? The health department has given me about a 9-day lifespan from point of sale. In the fall, I'm going to be doing directly wholesale to restaurants. And that product will be in a keg. It'll have a 90-day lifespan. And that will be treated by UV light.
Oh, okay.
So it will be, because most restaurants that have a CO2 system, you can just add the keg to your regular CO2 beer or soda pop CO2 system, and it'll be treated with UV light, which stops it at the perfect stage of fermentation. And then because you don't need any more fermentation, the CO2 will just be used to pump it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Crazy.
Yeah. So how much soda pop are you producing right now? Is it a...
Right now, I produce 32 gallons a week.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like a single mom.
Right.
This takes, bottling takes about 6 hours done on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And then labeling takes another 5.
Wow.
So it's about a 58-hour-a-week job. The thing is, on these bottles is they're biodegradable and recyclable. So it's a soy-based product. I went for an expensive bottle. I go for a fairly expensive, having the 4 flavors
mm-hmm.
and having them all different. I'm only pretty much making about $1 a bottle. So this is not going to ever make me rich. What this is going to do is just introduce, I wanted to introduce my product. I wanted to introduce my product to a wide variety of people, you know, and let them know that A, this can be done, and B, this is where you get it. And but the bottles are not something that is sustainable as a business model.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for the kegs is where
it's going to be the kegs. I already have about 12 restaurants that have wanted to sign contracts with me, and I should be unleashing that aspect
stage three
in November, so right before Christmas. And
Excellent.
Then the cool thing will be for restaurants is you can have a flavor that goes exactly with your menu, a flavor that is exclusively yours.
Right.
Nobody else has it. It goes with your menu, so you have a delicious value added you know, drink for people that are pregnant or don't want to drink and drive, or mm-hmm. you know, you have this amazing signature drink, and on top of that, you know, the signature cocktail aspect of it afterwards is nice. So I have a few restaurants that have already said yes, when can we have it, how much, you know, like give it to us.
Yeah.
and cool. We're just waiting for to be at the right time for expansion, which would be November.
Excellent.
I always find that as being a non-drinker, going out to a restaurant and everybody's having a nice drink.
Well, yeah, I worked in the service industry for years upon years. And, you know, and I was always making like weird cocktails, like elderflower cocktails or whatnot, you know, because like, yeah, you want to go out and you might not want a Coke, you know, you mm-hmm. might want to have something special too. And like, there's only so many Shirley Temples a person wants to drink.
Yeah, and that's full of artificial sugars.
Yeah, and yes. grenadine. Bad.
Yeah, bad. Not great stuff for you. So.
I usually have like a tonic water with a slice of lemon in it.
Yeah, but this
still pop. It's
this
still.
People drink it and they say, like, you know, I have people that come in off their bikes and they buy a bottle, and then, you know, within 10 minutes there's 4 more people that have just come off their bikes, been like, my friend can't stop talking about how great they feel. It
yeah.
is in your digestion. Like it's going to enhance your meal.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be nice.
I'm learning about fermentation and doing a bit of that stuff myself, and I think it's a pretty neat process.
I think I've been offered to give a couple of workshops, and I'm still I don't really have the time right now, but I'm thinking when the farmers market season slows down a bit, I'm definitely going to be giving workshops, because there's a lot of information out there and there's a lot of home fermenters mm-hmm. that are doing practices that I think would benefit from a workshop. Like, you really have to be so careful about your sanitization and your pH levels. And, you know, if you're going to be doing any sort of home fermenting, and I think you should, I think everyone should, I, you know, like, and I'm willing to teach anyone and their dog how to make soda pop. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're going to be doing any sort of things along these lines, you have to be really careful. And that's because we don't have a well-balanced digestive flora. We don't have a well-balanced home environment, if you're, you know, and so we're already throwing an imbalance in there. And then we're not really used to these products. I had a girl in Winnipeg send me an email via Facebook being like, I love your idea. Can we talk about it? I want to do the exact same thing in Winnipeg. And I was like, cool. You know, I'm from Winnipeg. Awesome. And so I called her and she wasn't there. And then when she finally called me back, she was like, oh, I'm already doing it and it's selling great. And I'm just like, well, you know, are you testing your pH? Oh, no. Like, how clean are your vessels? Oh, no. And I'm just like, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like, it's really scary.
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest thing with fermenting is that it is scary to a lot of people because there are concerns. You have to be very
you
clean.
You can be growing anything.
There is, you may not be fermenting what you want to ferment.
Yeah.
So that's always a challenge. So.
Yeah, you have to have a really acidic environment. And when you're the critical point, the danger zone is, you know, that period where you're waiting for it to get to that stage of acidity, you know, and you could be growing anything in that point. You got it, which is why I do all of my fermentation and my yeast cultivation in freshly squeezed organic lemon juice. Mm-hmm. And then once I've got a high acidity, that's when I use my champion juicer to make my flavorings. And then I juice the whole thing. So it's never below, you know, a 3.9.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing mine in salt water, like a really
crazy
strong salt water.
Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you just stick all your stuff in there and put this ratio of salt to water ratio in there, and then just let it sit. And it's like the hell you do sauerkraut.
Apparently, if you do French fries in a salt water brine for 24 hours, you cut up potatoes, put them in the salt water brine for 24 hours before you cook them, they don't absorb as much saturated fat and then also don't release that whatever the carcinogenic is in deep frying potatoes.
Deep fry, well, yeah,
they don't release it because the fermentation takes it out.
Oh, wow.
So guilt-free French fries. You heard it here first.
Nice. Check that out.
I've actually heard that as blanching them off as actually gives you a little bit of heads up on the the whole frying process. Yeah. It makes it a much, much nicer product.
Yeah.
Those lactobacteria are
awesome.
Awesome little critters.
They are awesome little critters. There's lots of them.
And we have more, apparently we have more good bacteria in our bodies than we actually have of our own cells.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'd hope it would be the good bacteria.
Yeah.
It
should be the good bacteria. If it's the bad bacteria and you have that many in, you're probably not feeling very good.
Well, it's fairly easy, though, really, to get these imbalances, you know, because a lot of the produce, you know, that we're eating has been sprayed and has been killed. Mm-hmm. So there's no lactobacillus on it. There's no wild living,
That's right. And you take antibiotics, it just knocks it right out of you.
Exactly. And so a lot of people are suffering from candida and candida-related, for sure.
Perfect. Cool. Well, we should move on to actually sampling some of these flavors.
Yeah,
and you can talk a little about what you brought here. So
I brought the four flavors. Each week I do four different flavors, or I mess around with them a bit. I try to focus on what's local, what's seasonal, what's fresh right now, to the variants. But some of them are old favorites. The first one that you guys are going to have is the Thai tea. This is my personal favorite, so you'll see it at my booth quite often. It's green tea, organic green tea, lemongrass, and fresh organic apple. So it's got antioxidants. It's got a little bit of caffeine. I don't recommend this one for children, but for a breakfast soda pop, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and I find when I'm at the farmer's market, I will drink possibly two bottles, and I will just be so energized and alive. And once I gave it to a hungover friend who was so hungover he couldn't get off the couch, and after this he felt good enough to stand. So that's a testimonial.
Oh, man, you'd been around a year and a half ago when I quit drinking. I might not have quit drinking. Maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's quite tasty, actually.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that one.
I like it with the flavoring notes because I feel that the green tea, the acridity of the green tea comes out first, but it's balanced and followed up by a smooth, round apple. The lemongrass really doesn't make itself present.
I was going to say,
It definitely, without the lemongrass, you don't get that smooth transition between green tea and then the balanced roundabout of the apple.
Lemon is always a beautiful balancer of anything. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these, I mean, there's an entire crate of organic juiced lemons in these. So I freshly juice my lemons for my pH, for my acidity. The next one we're going to try.
Well, that one's
got a bit
lively.
Of fizz.
Yeah. This one is the Green Goddess. So it is fresh field cucumber from Grassy Point Farms in Royston. Fresh mint from So Sisters in Cumberland. And organic lime.
I love that mint from So Sisters.
Yeah.
You know, I went back there and scavenged. It's like, this mint looks awesome. They're like, no one's picking it.
Oh.
So I was like, yoink.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, So Sisters.
You really taste the cucumber in that.
Yeah.
Well, this one
there is
different. This is, as I was saying, this is a different blend than the previous Green Goddesses. The previous Green Goddesses were a lot more mojito friendly, a lot more minty. But I really, these cucumbers that I got at Grassy Point were so gorgeous. And so perfect and so perfectly firm and ripe, and they smelt so delicious cucumbery that way. And I needed to be able to highlight this particular cucumber and its absolute ripe perfection. You know, like I was driving by Grassy Point, I pulled in, I got a sausage, and I talked to Dave there, and he gave me these cucumbers, and they were just so beautiful and so lovely. I had to feature them. So a little bit of tweaking to the old recipe, which is features more mint, but definitely I wanted to highlight this earthy, gorgeous cucumber.
Excellent. Quite tasty. So yeah, so that's local mint, local cucumber.
Local cucumber, excellent. Local in-season mint, yeah.
Excellent.
The next one is the Violet Resistance. So this one is a sweet violet hydrosol from Pretty Yummy. In Sayward. It's a lovely girl who is at the Campbell River Farmers Market. Organic peaches from here in BC, and fresh lemons, wild and cultivated yeast, and of course the secret ingredients always love.
Can't forget love.
Yeah, this one, I lived in Spain for a little while, and I fell in love with these violet candies that they have, and to the point where, like, the bottom of my backpack, the bottom of my purse, the bottom of my wallet were these violet candies, and no matter how dingy and grimy they were, I would still eat them. And and this one was also, a lot of people have been asking for a really good summertime mixer, because if you drink this soda pop with alcohol, obviously in some sort of moderation, but it definitely reduces your chance of hangover. So this one was meant to be with, like, you know, maybe some tequila, a little bit of ice cubes, salted rim.
And yeah, that could be a good after dinner drink for a non-drinker, because it's got that, just that nice citrusy
clean taste to it. Yeah,
it's not, because that's what I don't like about a lot of things, is it's got so much sugar in it that you drink it and leaves that residue in your mouth, and it's like, no, I'll just have a cup of coffee.
I don't like how when you drink something that's carbonated, your teeth feel really weird afterwards. Such as me. I like how these make my teeth feel clean still. But my brother is studying microbiology at the University of Manitoba, and he was just here for 2 weeks. And so it was really cool being able to talk lactobacillus and lactobacilli and whatnot with him. But he was a huge fan of the Violet Resistance and I think smuggled 12 bottles in his suitcase.
Whoa.
So, and the last one is Arab Spring. So Arab Spring is organic pomegranate, local rose petals, and local honey. So this one's actually sugar-free. The only reason I'm able to ferment sugar-free in this one is because during the drying period, the rose petals actually pick up their own lactobacillus. So the antimicrobial and antibacterial properties of the honey are overpowered by the density or fortitude of this particular probiotic wort.
Wow.
Normally you can't ferment with honey. Fermenting 101.
Yeah. They're also good.
It's quite tasty, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like this one because it reminded me of when I lived in Paris, my favorite flavor, I think, was rose. Rose is my favorite, you know, dessert. And we made these rose cupcakes with a lemon zest that were out of this world. And that's a flavor that's not really common here. It's a Middle Eastern, Moroccan, French flavoring, which is probably from the Middle Eastern influences. North African. And so I missed that flavor. I needed that flavor back, you know?
Yeah.
But, and it's also really fun finding the balances of these, you know, like earlier in the summer, I had a Rubel Rouser, which was fresh rhubarb and sweet basil. So it came off tart like rhubarb in the beginning, ended up in like kind of a warm hominess of the basil. And then this week we're going to be having Berry Radical, which is fresh organic strawberries and black pepper, which is really nice. Yeah, it starts off tart and sour, and middle note is strawberry, and the end note is a little bit of heat, a little black pepper.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that sweet and hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember when I tried the Arab Spring the first time, and you said it had rose in it. I went, what? That's the most crazy thing I've ever heard. Yeah.
Well, it's also different because I use rose petals instead of the rose water. So you're, like, during the fermentation period, it's extracting the oils. It's extracting a fuller rose flavor than you would get from a rose water.
So you're putting putting the rose petals straight into your brine or your fermentation.
Uh-huh.
Whatever it's called, however you call it, I don't know.
That'll good. Yeah, totally.
So the process of fermentating is pretty much like doing a beer or such.
I've never made a big vat.
Okay. But you're just basically combining all your ingredients in a vat and
I do three-stage fermentation. So I make my probiotic wort from organic raisins during the drying period. They pick up a lot of living local lactobacillus. So organic raisins, I ferment those onto themselves for about a week and a half until I have a good pH and they're sweet smelling and got a healthy, delicious fizz. I then take that fermented wort and then I add a little bit of champagne yeast from the Champagne region of France. Now, this is the oldest cultivated yeast in the world. It's never been genetically modified. It's organically grown and it's been around since the 1500s, highly regulated. So it's a grape yeast again. So, of course, it's gluten-free. Some people wonder. So it's a grape yeast with a raisin yeast, the two of them together, because like I said, when you're fermenting anything, doing a lacto fermentation or a wild fermentation, there is a chance that you are getting wild yeast is a little bit crazy. You don't know if you want to invite them to your party, you know, like some of them might be drunk on the doorstep. You don't know.
Right.
So I then temper the yeast with a little bit of this cultivated yeast, which is stronger, hardier, more stable. It's, you know, that friend that you can always fall back on. Mm-hmm. And then I juice an entire crate of organic lemons and create a really acidic environment. Bacteria and pathogens cannot live in an acidic environment. Healthy lactobacillus and wild yeast can.
Right.
So I ferment that all together. That's the second stage. So the first stage is the probiotic. The second stage is the probiotic with the cultivated and getting a, and then well, once that's really good and all moving together, then I use a champion masticating juicer like you have at the cafe and make my flavoring worts. Then everything gets separated and put into separate vats, fermented again. And then as I'm bottling, I'm filtering out spent, tired excess yeasts because I don't want to ever be in a situation where the bottle could blow or I create vinegar. But people often ask me about alcohol. The reason that there's no alcohol in my beverages is because it's a closed container. It's an airtight fermentation. So yeast need sugar and air to create alcohol. Mine is completely airtight. The only time it sees any oxygen is when I'm bottling. And at that point it goes, wah, and it goes all crazy. I filter out all the crazy ones because they get spent. And there's just enough residual yeast in the bottles, which are once again made airtight to create the carbon dioxide.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
So four stages all told.
Four stages.
Yeah, four stages.
And how long from start to finish would that...
From the very start to finish, because I have my, like as if you would have a sourdough starter, you know, I have my probiotic wort going. 3 weeks.
3 weeks to do a batch, so you're basically doing 3 weeks.
At this point, I'm in a 1 week because everything's good to go.
Oh, okay.
So where I'm at right now is I'm doing the flavoring. So I make the soda pop with the flavors on a Monday. They get bottled on a Thursday, sold on a Saturday and a Sunday, ready or good until, as the health department would say, until the following Monday. For myself, I drink them at a 2 to 2.5 week date. And that's just me. I don't recommend anyone else do that, but I definitely do.
Okay. Good to know.
Wow. This is incredible.
Well, and they're alive. So, I mean, it's really cool because, you know, if they lose their carbonation, right? You can take it out of the fridge, screw the lid on tight, put it on your countertop, and within 2 hours, it's going to recarbonate itself in the bottle. You know, and that's how you know it's alive. When you're getting, you know, probiotics, you don't know if they're alive. This is, and you can play with the amount of fizz. By the same token, let's say you got a bottle and you forgot it in the back of your car and it's been sitting in the hot sun and the whole thing feels like a grenade. Just crack it, let a little bit of gas out, put the lid on tight and put it in the freezer for 20 minutes. It's going to come down and it's alive. You know, it's alive. Yeah. But it's definitely a different can of worms. Excellent. Kettle of fish.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's really cool. These interesting things we're learning.
Yeah, we are. It's great. I mean,
Scott
that's
from Tree Island Yogurt was talking about all these bacteria things with us too, and yeah, it was pretty awesome. So
Definitely is an interesting world. So
yeah.
I think it's so cool. Like, I don't know who it was that came up to me at the farmer's market. I forget, but there were a couple of people often come up to me that are interested in doing their own fermentation, whether it be with kefir grains or kombucha or however. And I was just thinking, or maybe I was talking to you, Blaine, like how nice it would be, you know, like Freedom Farm sells a fermented sauerkraut, non-pasteurized, but like, wouldn't it be nice that you could go to the farmer's market, and that would also make it a little bit more more options for the winter, you know, as if you had these fermented foods, which is how traditionally we did eat, you know, but let's say you could come to my stand and have some awesome soda pop, and then you could go to someone else's stand and have some beautiful sauerkraut or some traditionally fermented pickles or, you know, all these amazing, delicious things that, that we seem to be really lacking.
Right.
It'd be really nice to, but the problem is that with the deviances that our health system has gone to, it's really difficult for anyone to get into this sort of market. I mean, it took me 2 years, and I was a stay-at-home full-time mom, so a lot of research and a lot of harassment. You know, I imagine someone else with a full-time job would have had you know, would have taken them 5 years.
True.
Yeah, but it's true. Like the I call them the food police, are there making sure that everything is. You know, if you want to sell anything, you have to jump through so many hoops to get it done.
Well, my mom, like, I remember taking my mom to Paris and taking her to a market. And, you know, she was seeing the foods on display there. And she was like, well, how can they have this meat sitting out? You know, like, we have something in Canada called sanitization, you know, like health standards. And it's true. But I think that we've gone so far. I mean, we're at a point right now where it's totally okay for Coca-Cola to sell high fructose corn syrup that has been proven to cause, you know, juvenile diabetes and horrible, horrible health problems. They can sell this, you know, with no regulation in a school, in a junior high, in a middle school, you know. And whereas if you want to sell fermented programs or products, or if you want to slaughter your own chickens and sell them, you know, it's virtually impossible.
Yeah,
it's definitely a tougher market to.
Yeah. I don't want to get all political because I'll just go on for 3 days.
That's true.
Don't want to get political, but just want to say that they're as long as there's a need and as long as people are interested and people are informing themselves and people are trying new products, then I do think you don't need to get all political. Yeah. I don't want to step on a soapbox, but I definitely want to have tasty beverages for everyone to drink.
Yes.
That's why when I do, I post on Facebook constantly different things that I'm doing is with canning and fermenting and all that, because that is stuff that my grandparents did, but my parents never did. And so it's kind of it skipped a generation, maybe two generations. And I think it's important to start bringing that stuff back because, you know.
There's a great movement doing that.
There is,
which is awesome.
And so the more people that I can show what I'm doing, and it's not hard, I'm not a chef. I'm not a microbiologist. I'm just a guy with an interest in preserving food.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
I made my first pickles last year. I'd never made pickles before. And I pickled green beans, garlic, pickles. I made a curry chervil pickle, which was amazing. Carrots. It was, and my stuff was really good.
It's great stuff because you're using a great product to begin with. Yeah. I think that's when you start doing that instead of using something that's been sitting on a shelf for a month or two.
And those things have never really been pickled. They're just cooked in brine.
Yeah. They're not true pickles.
No. Mine were so good.
My fermented pickles turned out pretty good in my first couple batches.
My green beans were expert.
I'm just trying things out.
Pickled jalapenos, pickled Japanese radishes. I went crazy.
I ate a couple of my garlic scapes last night that I fermented.
Well, I've been doing these pickled onions at work and I'm just in love with them.
I love pickled onions.
Yeah, it's just simple, easy. You throw it on a burger or whatever.
Or with fish and
sandwiches,
chips.
Fish and chips. Yeah.
You can't eat fish and chips without a pickled onion.
Does anybody sell pickled onions with fish and
chips?
No. No, I don't think so.
That's why I haven't eaten fish and chips. Yeah. You a pickled onion.
Well, this has been a great conversation, but I think we should probably start wrapping up because we've been talking for a long time.
Yeah, we're going to be maxing out our show here pretty quick. Yeah. So.
I was so scared. I'd be so nervous. I'd have nothing to say. And then I ended up chatting my face off.
I told you'd have lots to say.
No, it was excellent. Thank you very much for coming in and talking
to us.
Thanks
so much for having
me. Where can people find you? Just give a rundown.
Right now, you can find me, Island Soda Works, at the Comox Valley Farmers Market, the Campbell River Farmers Market, and then occasional festivals throughout the rest of the summer. In the fall, ask your local restaurateur, ask your restaurant management, come try my product, become hooked, and then petition all your favorite places to carry it.
And you have a Facebook page?
I do. Island Soda Works at Facebook. I unfortunately am too much of a Luddite to, I bought the website. I just don't know what to do with it. So I have a website. Don't bother going there. But you can check me out on Facebook because I don't need to know any sort of, you know, WordPress to do that.
No, totally. And you're also going to be at Flavor, are you?
Yes, I will be at Flavor. So I'm really excited. September 23rd. It's really exciting. There's a lot of really amazing, established, fantastic, wonderful, delicious, tasty, my favorite businesses at Flavor. And it's being held at the Coastal Black Winery, which is a beautiful, amazing place. And it sounds to be the most exciting foodie event I've heard of. It's Phillips Brewery, Atlas Cafe, The Wandering Moose, me, Dark Side Chocolates, you know.
I think everyone's going to be there. I know.
Yeah, it's everyone who's anyone definitely going to
be
there.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I was so happy to be invited. So they're really behind promoting what's happening here. And I think it's a really exciting movement because we have so much delicious stuff happening here.
Well, there's so many people who have been talking about this for so long.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work to put one of these events together.
I can imagine.
So it's amazing what they've been doing at the with North Island College Foundation. Mm-hmm. Using it as a fundraiser, you know, and this is going to go back and support the people who want to get into this stuff and get back into the cooking industry.
Also, there's a mentoring program they're having
yes.
as well. Yeah, you can mentor someone at your table.
Exactly.
Can I come learn how to make soda?
I was thinking it would just be like slave labor, like lift that and move that over there.
I can do that too. Darn it.
Yeah, I love that aspect that they want to put a student with each one of the chefs or each one of the booths just to help out and do it, which is a great opportunity for connecting. And
I think I'm going to definitely have to bring someone with me so I can, you know, wander around and be like, oh, what's this? There's so much good things to eat here.
Yes.
There's totally. No better way to say it.
And that's another question we usually ask our guests is, what is it about the Comox Valley that you like so much? What keeps you here?
And I came here for summer holiday, and I was supposed to go back to Concordia in the fall. I started working at the Atlas. I was addicted to their salads and their togarashi tuna salads, and moving on, just like fully addicted to Atlas food, and loved tubing, loved being close to nature, loved the fact that this healthy lifestyle was free, loved the fact that there are so many luscious, amazing, beautiful, delectable paradise things here. Aldous Huxley did a book that was the antithesis of Brave New World, and it's called Utopia. And it's all about like eating and drinking and enjoying it. And it's a really good read, and I really like to hold that ideology close to my heart.
Cool.
Well, wonderful.
It's a nice answer.
Excellent answer.
You have a food addict that worked at your restaurant.
Yes. I have a few.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. And we'll be sure to stop by and see you at the market anytime we're there.
Yes, as definitely. You should.
Yes, we will.
Well, now that you've had these samples, I'm sure you're hooked.
Yeah, yes. I have been hooked for a while. Okay, well, now we'll move on to upcoming events.
You got your tickets, right, for the bike tour this weekend?
I got it, yeah. So I'm heading out there. I'm going to go. My goal is to get to Tanitus Farms because I haven't met them yet.
Excellent.
So I'm going to hit. Hopefully, Natalie and I can make it that far. I'm not sure exactly how far it's going to be, but Dove Creek's pretty flat, so I think she'll be okay.
It's not that bad a ride. You should be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
I had asked them about taking Coco in her chariot, and they said it was pretty flat, not a big deal. So.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So, yeah, we're going to do that. And see what's going on out there.
Check out some more farms and find out what's going on up there.
Yeah.
Maybe set up some more interviews for us.
Yeah, so. I think do a little networking and just and also talk to cyclists too, because that's my other passion. So
is riding.
Riding my bike. So that's gonna be fun. I'm pretty looking forward to that. Then we got the Campbell River Salmon Festival is next weekend.
Next, the following weekend?
Yeah.
And that is, Ray will be up there from Fanny Bay Oysters.
That's right, yeah.
So that's that sounds like an interesting event. It's $5 admission. And there's lots of seafood cook-offs and logging.
Logger sports.
Logger sports. Yeah.
And you could probably also bring your fishing rod and wet a line up there because there's salmon everywhere.
Good fishing right now.
So you go to the salmon festival and maybe do a little salmon fishing while you're up there.
That's true.
Make
Excellent.
A really good day.
I think they also sell a day fishing license at Discovery Pier.
Oh, yeah.
I believe they do, right from the pier there.
Yeah, so you could just go in for the day. And they rent rods.
Right. And those crazy nets that you have to lower down when you hook a big one. Then, also, Mount Washington Food and Wine Festival is on the 25th of August.
Yes. So and we haven't heard much about that. I don't know where it's going on.
Yeah, we're trying to get to the bottom of what's actually happening up there.
But I will have to send some emails off over the next couple of days.
Yeah, we will find out some more.
But that same weekend, the Comox Valley exhibition is going on. So this year it's the 138th year of the exhibition down there, and so it's all about agriculture, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and visit the farms and find out meet the animals, I guess. Samples. Yeah. There's lots of cooking competitions and
go see different who has the biggest pumpkin and all that stuff.
Big competitions.
I had gotten some turkey eggs from someone my very first year of going there. So I was staying with some friends in Vancouver, and they were like, "I was like, what, do you want me to bring you anything back from the valley?" And they're like, "Turkey eggs." We didn't even know if turkeys had eggs, you know. I said to a woman, a really nice woman, I was like, "Oh, do you have turkey eggs?" And she did, and I got to go to her farm and get some turkey eggs, and they were amazing.
Wow, yeah. That's actually impressive.
Me neither. I don't know what I was thinking. I hadn't thought, but but they're really good.
Excellent.
Cool. We'll have to try and track some of those down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we used to have emus around here.
Yeah.
I used to do emu eggs, omelets, or no, not omelets, fittatas, which an emu egg is about.
Just a big omelet cake, right?
Yeah. And those eggs are about the size of your head, so two of them would make the full, like a cheesecake pan size worth one of those.
Wow,
so
sounds like a good meal to me.
It was like a dinosaur meal, you know.
I probably could eat two of them, too, but that's me. I'm kind of sick that way. Couple of emu eggs and the pack of Tannadice bacon. Oh, man.
You'd be done.
Yeah. And some Royston roasting coffee.
Excellent.
Bacon plus coffee equals love.
Blaine's life philosophy.
Yeah. And then Chef's Day at the Farmer's Market is September 8th. Come down and watch John scramble about. I may be there scrambling with him.
Yeah, it's not hopefully sure. We'll have a bunch of chefs from around town there. See who can get down, who can get a day off, and get in there and do
it
a little.
Might be just me there if nobody else can get the day off.
If I don't get a day off.
Yeah.
And I don't think we need to talk about flavor because I think we got a good rundown of that already. Yeah. So
September 23rd, Coastal Black Winery. Get your tickets now.
Yes. Nice job.
Excellent.
You're our pitch person. You should come in and do all this for us. And then, of course, the Comox Valley Farmers Market Saturdays at the fairgrounds on headquarters, and Wednesdays at the Comox Bay Farm, the bottom of 17th Street.
Excellent.
And and if you're listening to this and you're interested in the Comox Valley $100 Challenge, look it up on Facebook and like it, and keep track of your local spending, and so we can
see if we can make a difference.
Yeah, see if we can make a difference. And you don't have to worry that you can buy soda pop locally. So
you put your money where your mouth is, your mouth where your money is, something like that. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley podcast. Check out our website, ediblevalley.podbean.com. Like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. And you can email us with your comments or who you want to have on the show, ediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, keep it local.